Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, "Of the making of books, there is no end." How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Hello again, everyone. Thanks for listening in today. Well, I do have a comment on last week's program. I'd like to read it to you. It says, "Hello, JBL. I enjoyed listening to your JBL program about biographies. Even from his early age, my son and I read together many short biographies of famous people." Now, here's where this comic gets interesting. "I have actually written one for my son. After my husband died, I mentioned something about his father that he had never heard and realized since my son had been born 17 years after our marriage that there were 42 years of his father's life, which he was unaware. So I have compiled a 265-page biography of his father's life for him. Listening to your program this morning, I realized that not only my son, but his children could benefit from knowing more about their grandfather and, of course, me when I entered into my husband's life story. After all, so much of the story is involved with our calling into God's truth." Now, she goes on to say, "I haven't decided whether to just keep the biography as a computer file to send to my son or actually have it physically published. I have saved pictures in my computer to illustrate various stages of my husband's life to be included with the book. I wonder if, along with reading biographies of great personalities, how about encouraging the writing of your own life story for your family? Perhaps with the writing of it, you might be more careful of how you behave, knowing it's going to be written up." Now, I really liked that comment, and I think what I'm going to do is, at the very end of this new series we're starting, we're going to go ahead and read How to Write a Life Biography. So that'll give you something else to think about. So if you do the work and you read the biographies that we're going to cover this summer, then we'll come back at the end of the series. And I'm looking for a book right now, the best book we can, on how to write your own biography. And I think that's a great idea. I've wanted to do that for my own grandchildren, and that comment just inspired me to do it. Well, on our last program, I gave all the adults, young adults, children, and even elementary school children 8 points on why you should read biographies this summer. Now, I wanted to add to what I said last week. In fact, what I want to encourage you to do is to read at least 3 biographies this summer. And, of course, we're going to cover those for you on this program. But now, for today's program, what I want to do is I want to explain how to choose a biography. I mean, I don't know how many people out there know there are different types of biographies. And if you're depending on what you want to achieve with reading your biography, there's probably a better choice than maybe the one you might think. So let me just start out with the definition of biography. And this you can find up online. There's a lot of literary internet sites that are great. But this is just the website called Biography. And here is the simple definition of biography. It says, "A biography is simply an account or a detailed description about the life of a person." And so that's really pretty simple. But here's generally what a biography will entail. It has basic facts like a date of birth, also maybe the date of death. It has facts about childhood, maybe the numbers of siblings in a family. Maybe this person grew up as an only child. Generally, there would be facts about their education. Maybe they had just a grade school education. Maybe they only went through high school. Or maybe they have a PhD. Also talks about their careers. A biography will do that. Talks about relationships, their family, and then obviously for death. Now, the biography is really, it's a literary genre. And that's what we have to understand. It has its own genre, its own classification. It's like poetry has its own. If you look at, history books, they have their own. So, but basically, a biography or the biography genre is there to portray the life experiences and all the events occurring in the life of a person, but they're mostly put in chronological order. Now, that does not mean that the biography cannot read like a story. And some biographers actually, well, they'll write a biography as a story. There is a biography of Arthur Miller, who was a famous playwright, and the biography was actually written like a play. And so that's really kind of interesting, kind of creative. So, but a person who writes biographies is called a biographer. Now, what many people don't know is there are at least, according to this website, there are three types of biography. I actually think that there are at least four and maybe even five, and I'll discuss that in just a few minutes. But here are the three types of biography that this paper gives. First one would be an autobiography. And then the second one is just a plain biography, but there's actually five categories of the term biography. Of course, then they list memoir. And so let's go back and we'll look at these and maybe look at a specific definition for at least these three. And then I'm going to come back and talk about the other two that I think are also could also go into this category of biography. So what is an autobiography? And essentially an autobiography is the story of a person's own life. And generally, those who write autobiographies are still alive. Now, if they wrote their autobiography 200 years ago, obviously they're not alive anymore. But essentially, an autobiography tells the story of a person's life. So if I sat down and in the next 3 months wrote my own biography, it would be called an autobiography. Now, here's the other thing about this. While a person may write his own account, very often in autobiography, you'll see that they had guidance or help from a ghostwriter or a collaborator. And sometimes there are very important people that, to be honest, can't write worth beans. And so they would get someone maybe like me as a ghostwriter and to help write it with them so that they get all the grammar right and all the sentences right. And I actually did ghostwriting for the presidents of a company I used to work for. I would do their reports and their letters and all that for them, and everyone just assumed that they were writing it themselves. Okay, so that's the one biographer or one type of biography, or the first type is autobiography. Now, there's a second type of biography called biography, and so that hopefully that won't be confusing to you. But again, this is going to sound very similar to the definition I just gave you. So a biography is kind of like a narration of the life story of a person. And it's written by another person or writer. It's not written by the subject of the biography. And that there are, as I said earlier, there are five categories. And let me list the five. Now, there is popular biography. And generally, popular biography is written about a current person and maybe the life experiences they go through. For example, Walter Isaacson wrote a wonderful biography of Steve Jobs, and I highly recommend it. It's something that's very worth reading. Now, Steve Jobs has died, but it just tells how he organized and excelled at being so creative with the Apple Corporation. So that would be considered a popular biography. Now, there's another one that I've purchased and never finished, but it's called Into the Wild, and it's by John Krakauer. And that biography, it tells the story of Christopher Johnson McCandless. And what he did is, essentially, he sold all of his possessions, he burnt all of his money, and he went into the wilderness north of Mount McKinley in Alaska. And he wanted to begin to live, off the grid. He wanted to be able to live from the land, live from the environment, and essentially he froze to death. So that would be considered popular biography. Now, many comedians would write popular biography, and you'd have actresses and actors write popular biography. So generally, popular biography are people that have either lived at the time or the events in their life happened just within close proximity to right now. Now, there is historical biography. Now, what historical biography does, it is the author, again, a biographer. It's not the person in the story or in the history. But generally, a historical biography is a reconstruction of the life of an historical person. And so there might be this person in history where there's no autobiography, there isn't a lot written about them, but people are now interested in this person. Maybe they've their talents or their abilities, whatever they've done, has just been discovered. So someone would go back and try and reconstruct that life. That would be a historical biography. Okay, there's also literary biography. And of course, literary, that's a key word to understand the biography. It's about someone who writes or someone that's really interested in writing. And there's a great book out there on Theodore Roosevelt. It says, the title of this book is called Theodore Roosevelt, A Literary Life. And that biography talks about how he considered himself a man of letters. You know, he liked writing letters. He loved, reading. He loved, writing. And so that would be a literary biography. You would have literary biographies of people like Charles Dickens. There's a really good one about him. There's also literary biographies about, of course, William Shakespeare, Herman Melville. So that would be literary biography. And so that's really getting narrowed down where you're reading the life of a writer. Okay, the other one is like reference biography. Now, I think I've mentioned to this in the past that I actually, my master's degree is in library science, but I was actually trained in references and bibliography. And so a reference biography, it could be something like a biography of American authors or a reference book on American authors. And what you do with this reference biography, you could look up, like an encyclopedia, you could look up the life of Herman Melville, and there would be a short biography of his life. So that would be a reference biography. But then there's also fictional biography. Now, essentially what fictional biography is, it is the biography of a fictional character. And so for example, sometimes people will write a book, and it might be a popular book. I'm trying to think of a good example. Maybe they would write a series of books on a fictional character from the Civil War. Well, then they might be really successful in writing this whole series on the Civil War. And then, maybe at the end, they'll come out with an actual fictional biography of one of the characters from that series. And so that's what a fictional biography is. So if you're really wanting to get into biography, let's say the way I would like you to get into, I would really like you to stay in that category of popular biography or even historical biography. And, of course, literary biography would also be good. For finding out about great writers. Now, the third category that this paper gives is memoir, and that really is a biography. Now, I think one of the most recent memoirs that I have, it's called Guardian Angel by Melanie Phillips, and in this memoir, she talks about her move from being a liberal to being a conservative. And so a memoir, and of course she's written it herself, and a memoir is more focused than an autobiography or a biography. What she's doing is she does talk about her life, she talks about growing up, but she begins to focus in her memoir why she moved from being a liberal to being a conservative. And so that's generally what a memoir is about. Now, it's just a very... It's just like a slice of her life. Now, there are two other categories that I think that you could add to this and that I think are also part of biography. And there might be people out there that don't agree with me. But I also think reading someone's diaries is also biographical. And then also, I think you could add to that letters. And for example, I have several volumes of letters by John Keats. And I just think it's fascinating to read the letters of John Keats, who was an incredible poet. And of course, he died so young that it's kind of like we've lost, you know, some of the exciting things that he could have written. I mean, he died at a very young age. So I think that you could look at a diary, or you could look at the letters of people. I know that for Leonardo da Vinci, they have, you know, republished his diaries and republished his notebooks. And, I mean, there's a great insight into his life there. And it's a little more challenging when you read a diary or you read a letter. There's no one, you know, out there going point by point by point for you. You have to think it through yourself. You have to discover, you know, aspects of their life. So that's the kind of biographies out there. Now I want to we're going to talk a little bit more about this, and I want to slip from this paper. And again, you can find it at biography. It's you just type in the word biography and it'll give you this. You can find this for yourself. But I think it's actually from literarydevices.net, and I think it would be /biography. So I think you could find it that way. But remember, the function of a biography is there to provide details regarding the life of a person, or it could even be a thing. But it's there to give you information. And by the end of a biography, you should feel like you are really well acquainted with that person. Now, but there's different biographies. In other words, if you're reading a popular biography, you may not get the full spectrum of a person's life. You may, like, for example, the popular biography of Steve Jobs. You're getting basically how he dealt with the company Apple. And of course, he had some rough goes. He was fired. You know, he had some rough times. But you're not getting, you know, the complete story of his whole life. And so there are some more things I think we need to talk about biography. And I want to slip to another book. And I really wanted to, I don't think I've ever recommended this book on JBL. And it's an older book, but I do think that you could really benefit from buying it. Let me just look here quickly. I didn't think to do this. Let me see when it was originally published. It was this book was originally published in 1940, and it's called How to Read a Book. And of course, the subtitle is The Classic Guide to Intelligent Reading. And it was written by Mortimer J. Adler and Charles Van Doren. And I use this for my sophomore English class, and everybody thinks they know how to really read. And then when you read this book, you realize, well, you could learn more about how to read. But he has a section in this book towards the end on how to read biography and autobiography. And it's really kind of fascinating, and I want to just give you a few quotes from this in terms of, you know, how to pick your biography. Now, again, last time we talked about people like to have their own special genre of things they read. Like, some people just like to read science fiction. Some people just like to read mystery stories. My wife and I, every now and then, if we go on a summer vacation and we're at a beach, we like to read a spy novel together. And then we generally will, if we're, you know, sunning ourselves at the beach, we might both read the book, and then that evening at dinner we'll discuss where we are and things like that. So we do like to read our spy novels every now and then. But he gives a little more detail about biography that I think will help you decide what kind you want to read. In other words, some people might just want to read popular, and that's not bad, but you're really not going to really know a person. Nor are you going to be challenged or maybe get that feeling that you really know this person very well. So what I want to do is I just want to give you some of the definitions that he gives. Now, here's what he says about a biography. He says, a biography is a story about a real person, and that's what we have to see. So people that write fictional biography aren't going to like that. So he says, and he even says this, some biographers would object to this description, but ordinarily, at least, a biography is a narrative account of the life, the history of a man or woman or a group of people. Thus, a biography poses many of the same problems as a history. The reader must ask the same sort of questions. What is the author's purpose? And that's really what you have to determine, is why do you want to read this book? What is your purpose in reading the book? You're going to read a popular biography if you want just to be entertained. But if you really want to study deeply into someone's life, you have to go a little bit further. And what Alder and Van Doren say is there really are several kinds of biographies. Now, the website I gave you information from, they say there's three. Now, he says there's basically two. And let me tell you what the first one is. The first one is called the definitive biography. Now, this summer, we're not going to be reading definitive biographies. We're actually going to be reading more of a popular version of, and I'm going to announce these here in just a few minutes, what they are. Maybe I should say, I'll say it this way. We're going to read two popular biographies, and then we're going to read, the third one is going to be more of a definitive biography, and it's going to be a little more challenging. Let me give you Alder's definition now of definitive biography. He writes, the definitive biography is intended to be the final, exhaustive, scholarly work on the life of someone important enough to deserve a definitive biography. Definitive biographies cannot be written about living persons. They are seldom written until several non-definitive biographies have first appeared, all of them often somewhat inadequate. All sources are gone through, all letters read, and a great deal of contemporary history examined by the author. Since the ability to gather the materials is somewhat different from the talent for shaping them into a good book, definitive biographies are not always easy reading. Now, that doesn't mean they're bad reading. It's just sometimes you can't move fast, let's say through a group of letters and understanding of letters like you could through a storyline. But he said, a scholarly book does not have to be dull. One of the greatest of all biographies is Boswell's Life of Johnson. And he said, it is a definitive biography, but it is continuously fascinating. Now, I have not read that. I do have some other books on Samuel Johnson that I do want to get into. He was really influential in helping to develop the English language. Now, he goes on to say, a definitive biography is a slice of history, the history of a man and his times as seen through his eyes. It should be read as history. And for example, we're going to read Paul Johnson's History of Churchill. Now, it's a good book, but it's not definitive. Now, William Manchester wrote a biography of Winston Churchill, and it has four volumes, and each volume has a different title, and it's tied to the number of years it covers. I mean, that's an expensive set. I do have the set, but that would take us, you know, maybe a year of programs to get through the whole thing. Now, an authorized biography, and this is what sometimes you'll see this when you're in the bookstore, an authorized biography is not the same thing at all. Such works are usually commissioned by the heirs of friends of some important person, and they are carefully written so that the errors the person made and the triumphs he achieved are seen to be in the best light possible. So, if you really want to know the true history of, let's say, Winston Churchill, you want that definitive biography. But if the family wrote one and they call it the authorized biography, you could almost imagine that there's a lot of things left out. And so when you see authorized, it's pretty much whitewashed so that just the best foot forward for that person, is put forward. Now, the authorized biography is a kind of history, but it's history with a difference. And we may be curious to know what interested persons want the public to know about someone's private life, but we should not expect to know what their private life really was. And so that's the difference between a definitive biography and an authorized biography. And Van Doren goes on to say that actually even some autobiographies could, maybe not be as historical as maybe we'd like to see. And so, for example, even in the sophomore English class, we cover the autobiography of Benjamin Franklin. And it is not really, I would not call it the definitive biography. It's exactly what Benjamin Franklin wants us to know. Well, sorry, we've run out of time for today's program. Next time, what I'll do is I'll give you a brief bio on Winston Churchill and give you some tips on how to read and remember facts from Mr. Churchill's life. Now, the first book in this series that we're going to be covering is Churchill by Paul Johnson. You can find this book on Amazon for about $14, and that's for Prime members. You can also find a used copy of the book for around $6 at abebooks.com. Now, the second book we're going to read is about George Washington. It's also by Paul Johnson. And then the last book we're going to read, it is a definitive biography by Michael Korda, and it is about T.E. Lawrence, or he's better known as Lawrence of Arabia. That's going to be a very exciting series. So please write me any comments you may have to jbl@pcog.org. You can follow JBL on Twitter at jbliterature1. You can also follow JBL on Facebook. Simply search for Just the Best Literature. Remember, you can leave me a comment at Facebook. So until the next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.